So for today, again, there's much more to talk about in terms of Karen and Shane and Regel. I still want to do the psukim. I'm not going to do it today because it will take too long, and make a few other ha'aros about some of the Rishonim on Tesvav, and this also on Yud Tes. There's much, much more to talk about, but let's hold back on that for now because I want to get a little bit of a discussion of Eved going and Bor. The Eved part will be helpful also to the others. So let's begin with that. Just one other, the only thing I want to say about Karen, just in addition, regarding to Shitz Rambam, is just to clarify a comment that I made that a couple of people asked me about, and that is that the organization of the Rambam. So it's just, if you look at the way the Rambam organized, it's just very unusual, you know, given his normally very, you know, scalpel, like, you know, like razor precise way of classifying the different halachos. What you have in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon for the first 10 prokim or so is not a hodgepodge, Kalila, but, you know, again, you start off pretty much with like a general chapter, which definitely gives heavy emphasis or initial emphasis to Karen, you know, which gives way to an expanded, you know, Shane and Regel and Karen Shane Varegel and Shor, in which there's also, you know, Psukim and other things that are, you know, going back and forth, you know, between the two, in which Shemuad Mitchila and Hadah, you know, and Chatzi Nezek, you know, are kind of applied, but almost intentionally without, you know, the labeling of Karen. Then, of course, you have the second and third parak. The second parak you have Regel and Sroros. And again, it begins the way we already discussed extensively, told the same Lav Kiyotzim, with the impression, you know, that, again, that what it was a Havamina of the Gemara is worth noting in the Halachos, and that it isn't all that wrong, even though the Maisa mostly, you know, it ends up that it, you know, it isn't that way, but the idea that there could be a Chatzi Nezek, you know, for other cases, I'm sure, is certainly something that it sounds very reasonable in the Rambam, even the Halacha, even though you don't necessarily get the expressions of it. You know, and from there you go to Tsroros, and then from Tsroros back again to Palganizka Knasa, as we've discussed. And along the way, in some of those Regel cases, you have some interesting, again, Mishunas, which are Regels turned into Karen. And then you have Paragimel, where you have, again, similar kind of phenomenon, where, you know, the parak is dedicated, presumably, to Shane. And as we already noted, you have, like, you know, a bunch of cases where the Shanes are turning into Karen, including the landmark one of Gimel Zion, which provoked people to think that it might even be a Chatzi Nezek of Shane, which I don't think is necessarily the case, but I don't think it's so off from that conceptually, frankly. And one of the things that I'm trying to suggest is that, you know, a path to Karen, you know, that there, you know, and the role of Kavanasa Lahazik or certain other things has to do with whether or not we're dealing with, you know, a kind of a pure Karen or a Karen, you know, that comes through the world of Shane Varegel or an inadequate Shane Varegel or an overlapping Shane Varegel. And especially since I'm suggesting that these aren't multiple ovos, you know, in a you know, legally very significant way. In other words, that despite, you know, what we identified the other day, it's four different Karen scenarios, two in Tam and two in Muad, then in the end of the day, it's all Karen. So, you know, all that, you know, leaves a certain impression. And then you keep going, you know, again, the fourth, fifth parak. And the fifth parak, of course, is, you know, the preemptive strike parak, and the rest of it, you know, having to do with keeping a mazik in your home. And then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, pretty much is back to Karen and Hadaa. So you have like Karen, Shane Varegel, with interspersed dinim all the time, and then general dinim of Shor, and then back to very specific dinim, especially about Hadaa and undoing Hadaa of Karen. And then, of course, that leads into Kofar. Kofar also has, you know, a Karen emphasis, which it should. Based on the psukim and based on the frequency of cases, but again, a reference to Regel and cases and reference even more oblique to to shame. So all I'm saying is that the whole presentation of the Rambam, which is just extraordinarily unusual in terms of his normal style, I think is a shita, basically, you know, about you know, the complex interrelationship of all of these things. So we'll say more about it. I still want to do the quick survey of the psukim. Maybe we'll do that Sunday. But before we do that, let's move on, because we want to get at some of the bigger topics. Okay, so in the context of discussing the relationship of Kavanasa Lahazik and not Kavanasa Lahazik, so the Gemara has this reference to you know, to Eved and Amla. So let's talk about that for a couple of minutes. There's more to say about it, but we'll just talk quickly about it. And then I want to talk about when I want to go back to Gimel and Aleph and talk today, at least in more general terms, and then finish off the details, hopefully Sunday, about Bor. Okay. So how does this come up here exactly? Liam? Yeah. Go ahead. Was always trying to learn? Yeah, if you don't mind. And what's the context? Okay. I was going to say at least it wasn't the computer, but that's only bytes. This is, you know, chafta shell. I don't know.
You bring this into the bathroom.
What?
You bring this into the bathroom.
The computer. Yeah. I hear that. On the other hand, we wouldn't want it to shatter, I guess. Yeah.
So the kind of tomorrow is we're trying to find out what Mava is. And first, God is probably either Shane or Adam, and they try to die in public, and they end up saying we can't even die either way in public. So we try to give stars for why exactly they argue. So, Rab, my time on Shmuel, kind of short of coming to the shore.
What are you reading where? Where are you reading from?
Bottom of the Gilman page.
Yeah, okay, good. Go ahead.
Rab, my time on
Shmuel. Yeah, correct.
Tana Shor, coming to the shore. Shmuel and Nami had Tana just to the shore. I'm reviewing that. Tana Shor, the Karna, Mabla Shaino, Vaskamar. Loraya Karen, Shane, Hana Deko, Karaya Shane, Shishna Deko.
Yeah. Loraya Shane, Shane, Kavanasa Lahazik.
Loraya Kavanasa Lahazik, Karaya Karen, Shane, Lahazik. Loka, Homerhi.
So we already discussed, again, whether these are primary factors or they're just chosa shmira factors, right? And whether it's, you know, it's you know, being hanoth lezeko or it's not being kavanos lahazik or vice versa, right? Or what happens if you have them together. These are the things that we've been discussing. Okay. So here in the Gemara has a big havamina. Go ahead. Itzrich sol kedai dechamina.
Itzrich sol dechamina. Mida havi aben ev ve'ama. Ev ve'ama lav afo gav kabel hazik. Delachit tiri. Hachan loshna.
Oh. So, kavanasa lahazik is here described as a factor that leads to ptur. And the Gemara is saying it's not the case. Okay, and what's that based on? Yeah, go ahead. Good. And then the Gemara said, look, parachaki, that part we've read. Okay. So there are two ways to read this Gemara, basically. Yeah? I mean, what would be, the Gemara has a havamina that kavanos al hazik is a reason for ptur, not a reason for chiyu. Midah dehava eved v'yama, right? And then the Gemara says, well, "What are you talking about there? Tam rabba islu shema yaknitenu rabo." So there are two ways that you can read this shaka v'tarya. What are the two ways?
One way is that we think that Yisrael is saying that the other factors besides penal hazard. That you thought Kernel Hazik was only Chayev and Karen. We see that Eva Amma have Kernel Hazik, yet they're putter. So that must be not the only factor.
Or not only a factor, maybe it's even a negative factor.
Yeah.
Right, maybe Kavanasa. You see from Eved V'Amma that Kavanasa L'Hazik isn't enough, or maybe you see from Kavanos Alahaz. This is, I mean, you're right. It's not so clear. We see comes from Kavanos Alahazik that it's not enough, or we see from Kavanos Alahazik that it's too much. How would it be too much? How could Kavanos Alahazik ever be too much?
It's like a kind of a shame that the too much involved that not say back as well.
Right. So this, if you freeze this line again of the Gemara, it sounds like this is the point where the Gemara. Again, unless you say it the first way that you said, meaning Kavanos Alahazik is always a chumra, you know, but maybe it's not enough, right? okay, then we're not saying very much. But if we're saying Kavanos Pashtus, as we're saying that Kavanos Alahazik should be a kula. So Kavanos Alahazik is a kula, is a strange idea. If you're, you know, if you're talking from the standpoint of Mazik, right, and Hezek. So the only thing it could be, or the most logical thing it should be, I shouldn't say the only thing it could be, is that it is too independent. So this Gemara is the cautionary tale, or the cautionary voice, right, to be more accurate, that you're walking a fine line in Mazik, and that, you know, when you have too much of a Mazik, right, then that could be a reason for Ptur. How can it ever be a reason for Ptur? The answer is it can only be a reason for Ptur because it highlights what? That you have to be connected to the Mazik. And that's from the Mazik's point of view, right? It's always a reason to be Mechayev. Right? If you're Mazik Bekavana, then you should be Chayev. Like if you have two people, one who is Mazik Beshogeg and the other is Mazik Bekavana. So we say Adamuad Liola. We'll get to that. Right? That's also a topic we're going to be doing in the next couple of days because we want to get at least the basis for it, right? So no one's ever going to say, you know, that being too much of a mazik is a bad thing. I mean, it is a bad thing. But instead of being chayiv, it's not a bad thing, right? It's always more of a reason to be mechayiv. So how could too much of a mazik ever be a kula? The answer is it's a kula because it breaks somehow the tziruf, let's say it in that way, just in a broader way, to the owner, to the bailin. So then you wonder, is that, and that's what I mean by these gemaras, is that a factor in Karen or not? In other words, even the halacha, even though mostly l'hazik is a chumrah, right? Does it at least mean, does it at least show, in other words, that, as you could say, the Matskana of the Gemara is, this is what we would have thought, and it's wrong, and it's completely wrong, and it has no, this factor of it has no impact. Or no, it at least reflects a different kind of a Mechayev where the Bailim is less involved, or the involvement of the Bailim, you know, is secondary to the Maisa Hezek of the animal. In a manner that is very similar to some of the things that we were arguing in Shane, albeit for a different reason. In Shane, because the Mitzarif of Adnan and the model of Misasek B'Chalav V'Arayos. In the case of Kavanos Alahazik, right, in Karen, because of the model of Eved and Amav. In which case, again, we just have a very different perspective on Karen. And I say it helps us tremendously in Karen Tam, right, to explain the phenomenon of Migufo and not Minu Aliyah. Again, you could have said Migufo and not Minu Aliyah is just a, you know, a kula. There's a kula how much you pay, and there's also a kula, you know, in terms of the, you know, the source of payment, like where you can get your money, you know, from. So there are two kulas, and by the way, that is a very legitimate view, no question about it. But if we think that Kavanos Alahazik, right, is an indicator that, in the, you know, that, again, we don't go so far to say it's a kula, it remains still connected to the bailim that they have to pay for it, right? But it is, does characterize Maisa Shoro rather than, you know, Maisa HaBailim, let's say, as being in the, you know, up front. So the idea, like, you know, this, Bessie did this, Dolly did this, you know, and therefore Dolly really should pay. You know, how does Dolly pay? Dolly doesn't have an active bank account, right? But that's what Migufo is, you know, in a way. Right. So that is tremendously helpful. Again, only in Tam, you know, or you don't get that effect in Mu'ad. Maybe there are other things in Mu'ad, you know, that are, again, so for example, you know, the question of Shor Niskal, you know, being connected more to Tam, I'm sorry, more to Karen, you know, than to the others, you know, obviously is connected, you know, to that, you know, as well. You know, the animal gets, you know, brought to court. Again, even an animal where there's no bailim, right? And it's a trial. It's like a Dina Nefashos trial, right? It's spectacular. So what's that all about? So this, I just think for that reason, this is an enormously, if the Gemara is not just saying, oh, we have Kavanos al-Hazik without this consequence, but it's saying the Kavanos al-Hazik is a different type of mazik, and even the halacha that echoes, this becomes a very, very important line. Okay, now, having said that, again, I don't want to spend too much time on this, even though there's more a lot to talk about. We'll talk, just throw out a few things in a minute. So then when the Gemara says, so that's on the first line, where the Gemara says, Afagav and Kavanos al-Hazik, if you lock up Tiri, Hakanami lo shana, fine. So then when the Gemara says, Amar Avashi, Atu Eved vi'ama, again, you could still say the maskan is that the whole thing is wrong, and the whole thing is wrong in all respects. Okay, fine. But then, when the, even more important, Amar Avashi, Atu Eved vi'ama lav tamar rabba ispahu, Shema yakin ten rabba v'yad piyad lich, gnisho shol chaverim, seb chayv zmeyat shemana b'chol yom. How do you read that line? In terms of maintaining, you know, this perspective, at least in terms of Eved V'Yama. But still now the Gemara thought that the reason Eved V'Yama is Patur is because there's too much Kavanos al-Hazik. Okay, apparently not for Karen, but there is for Eved and Am. So one way to read the Gemara now, Liam, is, let's say, take or what are the two ways to read the Gemara now? Exactly. So one way, when the Gemara says Tama Rabba Ika, what the Gemara is saying is you completely got this 1,000% wrong. Eved Ba'ama is not an indication that too much Kavanos al-Hazik is something that detracts from or dilutes, you know, the responsibility of the Bailim. It's just a totally different din. What kind of din is it, would you say, if you emphasize the language of our Gemara and if you say it's 180-degree turn? What? It sounds like a din d'rabbanan, right? A kind of a tikkun olam kind of a thing. In other words, like, you know, one of these, you know, im kein lo inachta, you know, bas l'avram avinu, you know, getting back to our Kedusha days, right? This is like a disaster. Like every disgruntled Eved V'Yama is going to be mazik, right? Until the it's like a way of extorting his owner. It's not going to be worth it, you know, for him to hold on to him. Correct? Okay. So then this is a din derabban. And who holds that way? Rishonim Eyes. What? I'm not sure. Which Rashi? You think Rashi holds that way?
Is Rashi's emphasis of Shenefin Rabba being into the Ummah Maskana, not Havnina, implies that we had a full change from Havnina Maskana?
Well, I'm sure. Okay, I think there's another way. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. But is there anything in Rashi that that implies that it's a Dindra Banan? The Imechai Vislei Kol Shah, Shiachi Seda Rabba Yelech Viyat. I don't know. That could be still Dindaraisa. Can't that be Daraisa? Okay. Who actually says that it's a Dindarabanon? Avrami? The Miri. Miri Alatar, a lot of the Achronim also assume that it's a Dindarabanon. So then it's like a 180-degree turn in the Gemara. Okay. If that is the case, then it also may be true that fundamentally, it's maybe true anyway, we'll get to it in a second, but then we're basically saying that even owning a bar das, right, would make you fundamentally chayiv v'nezakin. In other words, the din of shor is not limited to shor, it applies to Eved V'Ama as well. Right? It's not a judgment statement. It's not an axiological statement. We're just talking about in terms of Nezikin. Okay. And we'll see in a moment whether that is something that is so pashut. And if that is true on the fundamental level, which is important to know, in terms of the boundaries of, maybe Lemaisa it's not, but it's conceptually important to know. It also may be practically important to know. Because there might be circumstances, anytime we can neutralize Shema Yaknitenu Rabbo, right, we are back in the game. You know, we're back in contention for Rabbo being Chayev. Unless you say that there are low plugs going on, or Haramos that you're concerned about, etc. Because in principle, what we're saying is that Shema Yaknitenu is the whole story here. So, for example, what will you say about Shogeg? Let's say it's perfectly clear from what happened that the Eved Ba'amo was involved in an act of Shogeg. Okay? Or what will happen if we're dealing with a Katan or a Katana, who doesn't yet, you know, know the nasty, you know, underbelly side of, you know, being an Eved and an Amo. Okay? Or what will happen in other circumstances where it's perfectly clear that there's nothing in it for the Eved and the Amo. There's no Shema Yaknitenu Esrabo. Right? That's a Noda Behuda's case. What's a Noda Behuda's case? You saw it? Get a chance? Itzi? No? Eitan? No? Neither Eitan. Okay. Ariel? Nathan? If the animal, if the Eved Ra'ama kills somebody, right? So he's going to be brought to court and he's going to go on trial. Right? But there's no Shema Yaknitenu Rabbo there. Well, I guess not. He's going to Golis or he's going to the gallows, right? He's literally the gallows, but I mean he's facing the death penalty. In other words, the Achronim talked about a bunch of cases where you can neutralize the technical factor of Shema Yaknitenu, right? And either it's clear that that's not what happened. In those circumstances, maybe the Bialim should be high. Okay. But there is another way to... So who talks about Shogeg, by the way? Tosas. Right? Tosas says, why isn't there... Why don't you say in Shogeg that there is no Shema Yaknitenu?
I meant it as a Shogeg when you meant to do damage.
Correct. The problem that he'll say, there's a Harama issue. Okay. So again, the only reason not to say some of these things, if fundamentally Eved Va'ama, your Chayev for his Nezek, is if you take the view, again, of low plugs or Haramas, etc., etc. Okay, fine. Is there another way to read the Gemara?
You could say that in reality, it's going to be say that it really isn't necessarily the same, isn't direct connected to the Baal. But the reason being, well, it's true, it is still there. And the reason I thought there is because of a technical reason, but he still is an individual.
Say that one more time.
Meaning
that
it's still an individual.
Individual meaning separate from the Baal.
Yeah, but in this here, the bank account, the Baal, meaning the Baal still chayev, and in this case, Abdo, we occurs in.
Why? Why do you have to say that?
Because it sounds like even in the day, connecting him still to Sparta, if he was addressing the Tzeref to the bank account as opposed to the Tzeref to Baal himself.
No, but I'm saying, is there a way to say that the Gemara is telling us that Eved Ba'ama are mufka legamri from the responsibility of the Baal? Is there another way to read the Gemara? When the Gemara says, Tamaraba Ika, now there's till now, the first way you're reading Tamaraba Ika is that there's a sea change, 180 degree turn. First, the Gemara is saying, Kavanasa Lahazik, you can have too much, Kavanasa Lahazik can be too much, right? And then the Gemara is saying, no, that's not what this Gemara. This Gemara is a Dindra Bana on the Shema Yaknitenu. It's a policy Gemara. Right? And then, as we said, if it's a policy Gemara, there are two things that emerge. Number one, that fundamentally Eved Ba'ama is Chayev, conceptually. And number two, even practically, maybe it can make a comeback under certain circumstances. Correct? Okay. Now I'm saying there might be another way to read the Gemara, where the Gemara is not saying, no, this whole thing is wrong. Maybe they're saying what they originally said. They're retaining the view, which is that Eved Ba'ama is too much kavanos alaha, or too independent from the bialin. Right? The only thing is, they're saying that's the case for Eved V'Ama, but it's not the case for Shor. The Tamo Rabba Ika. So how would you explain that? Exactly. That Shema Yaknitenu Rabbo is not referring, it's not a policy problem. Right? It's not a concern, that this will motivate him or this will happen or how ubiquitous this will be or harama, hidden, subterfuge that will be. Forget about all that. What the Gemara is saying is something profound. What the Gemara is saying is when you have a person who has, the ability to think, then you the notion that actions, are the full responsibility of B, that burden to begin with, not as a policy matter, right, but as a category of tziruf, is what is being challenged. So then what the Gemara is saying is, Hanami, we read this the right way, namely that kavanos lahazik can be too much. However, that too much, right, only applies to Adam. It doesn't apply to Shor. That doesn't still mean that Shor's Kavanos Alahazik doesn't establish it more as a Maisa Shor than a Maisa Adam. That still may be the case. Right? But in terms of Chiv and Ptur, what we're saying is, Tam Rabba Ika then is not like, no, you got this din completely wrong. Kavanos Alahazik, is never ever a Hafkos Tziruf. No, you said you got it right. Kavanos Alahazik in Adam, in Eved Ve'ama, is Hafkos Tziruf. That part is true. Just that it's only in Eved V'Adam that it's Hafkos Tziruf. Because Shemayak Nitena, now, he's a Katan, right? Or, we know him to be the most honest, Eved V'Ama, he's like Tebi himself, he's an Eved V'Ama, or like, the Yerushalmi's, Eved, right? From Tosas in the beginning of Gittin. We discussed that recently? Or in Kiddushin days, maybe. Banzachin? No? Rishami says, what about, is it Zachin or Chavin to be Makabal the Get Shechror, of an Eved, let's say. Right? So the Rishami has this case, what if he's like the butler in the White House? Well, probably this butler in the White House probably isn't such a pleasant job anymore, but, or in the King's Palace. Well, I guess that also could be tricky, right? You don't say it's dream people. But I guess it's not a walk in the park either way. But so the Yerushalmi says, maybe he's going to go out there and be Meshuchrar and have to pound the pavement, to find a good job? Or does he keep this cushy job as the major domo, in the palace? So for him, it's not Zochin to be Mekabalas Get Shechrar. Is it? So that's the Yerushalmi that Tosas quotes in Gittin on Daf Yud Aleph. Question is, what is the Yerushalmi's answer, Tosas's answer? Tosas does a rush. There are different views on that. But one of them may be, you never know what's coming tomorrow. Like, you can have a cushy job today, and then it's Vayakam Melech Hadash, or the king gets a little bit, or the president gets a little bit cranky. And then, the cushy job becomes the biggest nightmare, and pounding the pavement seems like a luxury. So that's a question. Or is it a Zochin? Not for now. But you get the idea. Let's say we have an Eved V'Ama situation where there's no suffek of Shemayak Niten. But the point is, you don't need a gold plug. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter Katan. It doesn't matter Shogeg. It doesn't matter the circumstances of and his employment, his alternatives, or his relationship to the Bailim. None of that matters. What we're saying is that the very potential of Shema Yaknitano, right, whether you use it or not, it's always a human capacity. What it does is it establishes that Kavanoso Lahazik, right, in in a person, a bardas, you know, no bardas, you know, is sufficiently mitzuruf to another bardas for purposes of mazik. Okay, who holds that way, that this is a din, a fundamental din, pashtus? What? Yeah, sounds like the Rambam in Hilchos Gneiva holds that way. And as we already noted, right, the Rambam in Hilchos Gneiva is an intriguing, you know, placement for this din anyway. Right? That's Reb Chaim's Ha'ara. Right? Right, Liam? The Reb Chaim in the very end of Perek Tes, Hilchos Gzeila, Halacha Aleph, right, makes note of the fact that the Rambam quotes this Mishnah in Yadayim, this Halacha. He does two interesting things, actually. One is, one Reb Chaim noted, and the other he didn't note, but it's true. But one is that what Reb Chaim noted was, why didn't he put this in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon? The din is about Nezek. Why did he put it in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Gneiva, Halacha Tes? That was number one. Number two, is the fact that the Rambam adds some word. Do you have it there, Liam, the language? Yeah, I'll test. Oh. So the Rambam has, he adds a line about, what's the added line? Eniachal Ishmar es Avdo, correct? So that is a significant addition. It sounds like the Rambam is interpreting Shemayak Nitenu Rabo as a conceptually, basically, as a shiur in you know, the extent to which this tziruf. And Reb Chaim's Ha'ara is also very good in this light. How so? Because Reb Chaim says, oh, what's this doing in Hilchos Gneiva? It really is a din in Hilchos Nizkeimam. That's still the truth. But the answer is, says Reb Chaim, that the Rambam wanted to be mechadesh something about Gneiva by employing this halacha here. And what he wanted to establish was that, like, you know, from per se, one would have thought that from a Gneiva, Gezela, you know, perspective, there's nothing even to talk about. Because Gneiva and Gezela is more about a mechayiv of the Maisa Gneiva, the Maisa Gzela. Who did the Maisa Gneiva and the Maisa Gzela? The Bailim. Right? He's sitting home, he doesn't even know what happened. Right? The Eved Miyama is the Ganav or the Gazlan. So what would even be the Hava Mina? But in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, where Shmirasan Alecha plays a role, so there it makes sense to think that maybe, we'll get to this in just a second, that maybe Eved Biyama plays a role too. And that's why the Rambam needs to say, not even that. And the reason is because there's no Shmirasan Alecha, because he's not Nitfas B'Shmirascha, essentially. Correct? Okay. So this is Reb Chaim Lishitaso trying to explain that in every Geneva, in addition to the Maisa Geneva, in every Gezela, in addition to the Maisa Gezela, right, there's also an act of Mazik. That's what we discussed at the beginning of the year. Right? And the act of Mazik is what might have been relevant here. So the Kiddush is, even in Geneva there should be this Mazik motif, but it falls short from a Mazik motif because he's a Bardas. It's not, therefore, Nitan or Nitvas. Yeah.
I read that this with Rambam. Could you read it as a Torah Anos of Shmira? If I lock my shore up in chains and get out anywhere, I'd be butter. So do Eva Ba'amo, there's nothing I can do, hence the definition of butter.
So I don't know. So this is a little bit tricky, so I want to talk about this for a couple of seconds. I don't think that's exactly what he means, but I think you have to say something. Right. So what's let me just frame the question just a little bit differently, but it's basically the same thing that you're asking. So it's interesting. We'd already noted when we read the Rambam Perek Aleph Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, right? We know the question about, you know, what role, right? You know, Darkan Lahazik Shmirasan Alecha, you know, Mamono, right? It's all very, you know, our job would be much easier if it wasn't so kind of amorphous, you know, these factors. Because as we noted from day one and continue to emphasize and will continue to emphasize, the ambiguities are connected to the fact that there's a lot of overlap in these different factors, right? So, for example, right, in addition to, you know, Maisa Shor, Maisa Adam, that's one part of it, right? There is the question of, you know, the Mechayev is Choser Shmira, like that first day in Rashi on Tesla Beis, or the Mechayev is separate from Choser Shmira, and Shmira is just a Ptur, maybe even a Pturonus, right? Or at least a Ptur, if not, it doesn't have to be Bedinonus, it could be Beloy Shmirenu, maybe Shmira is a Ptur, per se, maybe not on us. Not so clear, right? And it matters a lot. One of the things I've been suggesting is that if we talk about different mechayvim, one of the issues might be that they kind of, you know, moving around some of these moving parts, you know, again, if you could eliminate some of them, then it would even emerge in clearer, you know, in a clearer way. But if you can't, you know, eliminate them completely because they are so interconnected, and that's one of the things I'm going to explain in just a second, and then you'll tell me if this is what you have in mind, at least the emphasis, right? Because Ein Adoma, if I say the Bechayiv is Choser Shmira, right, then the Shmira part is really very, very prominent. Or if I say that as the owner, let's take three scenarios at the moment. As the owner of this animal, right, his actions, you know, are covered by your financial, you know, holdings, right? He taps into he doesn't have his own bank account, and, you know, part of owning him means that he has a link to your bank account. Okay. All right, so what does that do with Shmira? Right? Something like a Ptur Shmira v'lo Yishmerenu, or a Ptur Onus, right? And then in between those two is the notion that as his owner, and as somebody who's not just his owner, but who also has a responsibility to rein him in, right, that makes me not just accountable financially, right? It doesn't make me the person who did the mazik through my choser shmira, but it makes me mitzuraf to his maisa hezek. Again, I can't eliminate these factors, but they're playing different roles, correct? So what's interesting is if you take the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Niskeimam, the first impression, it's just hard to know how seriously to take it because the parts are so, you know, mutually impactful. But the first Rambam, Kol Nefesh Chaya Shehi Bereshuso Shel Adam, right? She is Zika, Habailim Chayavim Leshalim, Shehare Mamonam Hizik, Shenemar Kiigof Sharish Shareyu, and so on. So the first Rambam does not sound like Choser Shmira is the Machayev. He doesn't even mention Shmira at that point. It sounds like either, you know, you own the animal and therefore, you know, you're financially responsible for what he does. Again, we find out later that if you did a proper shmira, that you're patur. That's certainly true, but that ends up being, again, a peripheral halacha, not part of the mechayev. Or is it that, and then this would kind of promote, I guess, the choser shmir part somewhat, maybe it's not the mechayev, but maybe the link between, maybe the reason that your bank account, right, gets drained by the actions of your mamon, right? Maybe that wouldn't be true per se, and it wouldn't be true per se with the added proviso that you have a ptur onus or a ptur shmira. Maybe it's only true because your choser shmira, right, links you to that action. Doesn't mean you did it. Like, you know, the way some Mefarshim use the expression, oh, there's gufo hizik and there's mamono hizik. Mali gufo, mali mamono. It's like the reverse of the famous Ramban, you know, in the end of Babasra, Ramban, at the end of Basra, tries to explain that you can, you know, you can be kofa, you know, for certain mitzvos. That's a Gemara in Ksuvas, right? Kofen ala mitzvos. So the Ramban says, for the same reason, even if you hold Shibud alav daraisa, right, you can collect, like Prius Balchov mitzvah, you can still collect from the guy's assets and maybe even Shelo Bafanav, but certainly Bafanav, even if he doesn't want you to, because Mitoch Shet, this is the line of the Ramban, the end of Babatzer, Mitoch Shet Kofeyu, right, Bigufo, Kofeyu, Bimamono. It's not exactly the same thing. I'm just trying to, I think it's a parallel thing. It's not the same. Meaning, a person's, you know, actions and the actions of his money or his money, you know, are often seen in the halacha as being totally divergent, totally different. And in some cases, the Rishonim will bridge the gap, again, in different issues, different things. So when it comes to Maisa Shoro, you know, I think there are different ways to say all of this. There really are, and there are different indications. So one could have thought from the first Rambam that being the owner just means that you're the owner, and therefore either that automatically means Maisa Mamoncha is your Hezek too, or it's Mitzurav to you by virtue of being Maisa Mamoncha, right? Or you don't need a Tzirav to the Hezek, to the Maisa Hezek. It just needs to be that, you know, that as the owner, again, this animal's bank account is linked to you. Right? That's even less. Or it could have been that Choser Shmira is the Mechayiv. It doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. Or it could be that there's some Tziruf which makes the Maisa Shor into your Mitzuruf to you as a Maisa Hezek. You need the Tziruf to Maisa Hezek. It's not your Chikisaron Shmira that is the Hezek. It's the actual act of Hezek of the Behema, but it has to be Mitzuruf to you. So the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, where he has a din of Eved B'Yama, is definitely one of the places where the Rambam most projects Choser Shmira. Right? Because he's basically saying the reason that Eved B'Yama are potter, because there's no ability of Shmira in that case. But if Shmira is just a Patur Anus, so you should have just said you're potter Mishamonis. That's, I think, you're asking. On the other hand, the Rambam here at the beginning of Nuske Mamon sets a very different tone. But I think that the Kosav HaShlishi, you know, HaMakriya B'neihem, is that the Rambam thinks that you are Chayiv for Maisa Shorcha, right? But only if Maisa Shorcha, and you pay for it, it's not just a payment, you know, and it isn't a Chiyuv due to Choser Shmira. But the Chiyuv Shmira, he understood that statement, you know, Mamoncha, Ushmirasan Alecha, as explaining that the Shmirasan Alecha is what makes Maisa Mamoncha, what makes you sufficiently Mitzurav to that act of Hezek. Your bank account doesn't cover him no matter what. Right? It only covers him in things that still are connected to you, even if you didn't actually do them through Shmira neglect or through some, you know, mamoncha hizik, it's like, you know, yodcha hizik. We're not saying that for the Rambam. Does that answer your answer? Okay. So that, I think, is something that you need to say. Now, what's fascinating is, in light of all this, the other perspective, I mean, yeah.
I'm not sure this is ad mukra, not if you want to bring the Rambam.
You're not sure the what?
It's ad mukra, if you want to bring the Rambam closer in the middle or the Shmira side.
I mean, what they need, I mean, the Rambam says the word Rishuso?
Yes.
Rishuso Shaladam.
It was just a Mamon thing. So
well, let me say this. This question, again, it affects a lot of things, obviously. At the level of Shmira that we're taught, that you require Shmira Prisa, Shmira Ma'ula, or that you violated. One of the things that it affects a little bit is how you look, but I just don't think it's mukrach at all because it's all very fluid. the following questions that we still have to deal with a lot. And that is, what do we mean by mamoncha? Which I think is what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I mean, he says,
does mamoncha mean bailos in dini mamonis, kosher mishpat? Or does mamoncha mean, again, something that is mitzuraf to you, even in a lesser way? So, for example, what's the status of a ganav and a gazlan, you know, who take your object, nichnasu tachtav, the suga is later on in a kodes, or shomrim, right? The shomer, who explicitly or implicitly is makabel shmir. He's not the bailin, right? He can't be makdish the chafetz. You can be makdish the chafetz when it's in his rishus, right? Because we can't call chedus and rishus in the maris, mostly. But he's not the bailin, right? And the ganef and gazlin, you know, no one's the bailin fully. It means elafishen shalov is elafishen brishusa. But with regard to the chiv of nizke mamon, both a ganef and a gazlin, A, together in this respect, and a shomer are sufficient. Right? That's one group of people to be thinking about. That's A. B, right? What about bor and esh? Right? We're going to come up on that very soon as well, right? Well, the question is the girsa that says that, you know, it has to be mamoncha, does that really mean bailus or not? Right. So in Eish, that is a big machlokas, correct? Even if you hold Eish Mishum Mamono, does it mean you have to be bailin choshem mishpat wise on the Eish? In the case of Bor, right, we already have, we'll get to that in just a second because we want to talk about Bor now, we already have conflicting views even within the same Mefarshim. Right? On the one hand, the Rajban Beis Amid Beis told us that one of the three chidushim of Bor, right, which is why we apply Enon Shem and Adin, is the fact that you're not the Bailin. On the other hand, if you look at the Rajba here, right, when the Gemara uses the expression Mamoncha, and they discuss the Girsa problem, the Rajba is a different view in the Tshuva, I'll talk about that. But in the Rajba here, it says, no, it just means the Shnei Dvarim, Eina b'shusa shalodam asana kosev kila b'shusa bor b'shusa rabim kometz of Pesach. Like, you know, that's a clear one that's going to be controversial. But the kometz of Pesach and the bor b'shusa rabim. Meaning, what do we mean? Shnei dvarim einan b'shusa shalodam asana kosev kila b'shusa. Do we really mean that it's a fancy way of saying, you know, we're not makbid on bailos? Or is it a way of saying, you know, it's a chiddush haTorah and we consider it to be the bailim legabe, you know, nizke mamon, even though not legabe other things? Or do you actually you bailim through nizke mamon even on other things? Similar question by Chometz Pesach, by the way. Or is that another way of saying that, you know, that maybe something that you're the yotzer, you're the, you know, you're the owner, you've created the boar, so you're like, you know, Kone Shemayim Ba'aretz of the boar. Right? So the question of Shomer Ganav, Bailus on Eish, Bailus on Boar, right, these are all big questions. The problem with it is that in the end of the day, it's not so difficult to explain all those phenomena. I think, again, the tendency would be the more you think that, you know, if it's about Tziruf to the act of Hezek, you know, then, you know, that should be more on the ground, you know, in terms of your connection to the shore, your control over the shore, etc. If it's about the formality of being linked to the person's bank account, you would think that would be really a din in Bailus itself. Like, you know, the bank doesn't recognize, you know, the ability to, you know, to just raid somebody else's bank account unless there's really formal ownership. Okay. But in the end of the day, it's hard to know that 100%, with 100% clarity. So what are you telling me, Rabbi Zalman says? That the language of the Rambam, when he says, Birshuso Shalodim doesn't mean Baluso?
Right, so that it would say, if it was really like just about the Baal himself, it would say, Konav Shayashish, Shehi Shalodim.
Shehi Shalodim. Shalon, that's what it should have said. And reshuso implies not baluso, but reshuso. I mean, it's let's say marbe ganef and gazlin,
right,
and so.
And he talks about Shon, basically whatever you just said, and one of his rayas is Rama Mutineva.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
how's that a raya?
That it's more about the shoot than the shooter.
Oh, what we said?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, okay.
So I was just wondering, in that approach, you could also maybe take a middle ground and say that the fee of Shemira is what's mitzari if you're the bank the opposite way.
That's kind of what I'm saying. That the chi of Shmira is what is... I don't know if it's tzarefi to the banker or tzarefi to the Maisa Hezek is what I'm saying.
I think for this approach that we're focusing more on anyone who is a shomer.
Right.
So if you really need a...
Whoever that is.
Still a connection to the bank account, like if you say, because the Rav says, Shari Mamun of Hezek, so the chi of Shmira is mitzarefi, then it's a Mamun of Hezek.
Yeah, I'm saying either to the Maisa Hezek or to the bank account. I would say either way. But definitely Geneva has a very strong, you know, Geneva sounds like Rashi number one, that's what I'm trying to say. And this Kemomo in Perek Aleph sounds like, I don't know if Rashi number two, but it doesn't sound like Rashi number one, is what I'm trying to say. So I think what I am saying, and it sounds like you're saying, or Mrs. Alman says this also, is that, where does he say that? Here on the first one, on the beginning of Rambam? Oh. So that, is that... That the din shmira is a mitzaref, even in terms of the ma'isa hezek, it's not a mechayiv of choser shmira, like Rashi number one, but it is a way of being mitzaref, you to the ma'isa hezek, or at least your monetary responsibility or accountability, right, is only vis-a-vis, you know, certain types of things. That too requires tziruf, even if it isn't in the ma'isa hezek, right? That's just kind of what you're starting to say.
I'm saying, he is saying
pure chiyuv shmir. Oh, he's saying chiyuv shmir is the mechayev?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that.
I know.
Yeah. How does he explain aleph aleph? It doesn't sound that way.
So
that's
what I was saying.
I mean, birshuso means he has a chiyuv shmir on it.
Yeah.
The word, I thought you were just trying to say that the, you know, if this is all a tziruf din and not a bailus din per se, that's what I'm trying to say. Then it also the more vague term reshuso also helps you because you only need this kind of kesher. You don't actually need to be, if it was a pure bailos thing, you know, then maybe you really need to be the pure bailos. Okay, but I'm not going so far as to say that the word reshuso means that the bechayiv is choser shmir. Here, I don't think that's implied.
Why does Rebbe not want to go to that extent and say it's
because I just don't think the word birshuso is translatable to the mechayev of choser shmira. Birshuso is a description. I'm saying that choser shmira, again, I don't need that. In other words, the language of the Gemara is dark alahazik, mamono dark alahazik, shmirasan alecha. So what I'm saying is it isn't just a ptur onus. It's more than that. But that doesn't mean it's the mechayev either. It's that whenever there's a chi of shmira, right, then your mitzuraf, you know, to the action that takes place, either mitzuraf on a mazik level, or mitzuraf in terms of the monetary responsibility.
Rebbe does think that Rashi number one is saying a pure chi of shmira.
Yes.
Just not here. Meaning the Rashi is saying that, which is not.
Rashi on Tesson base.
Yeah.
The first daya. Yeah, I think he really says that. 100%. That's not the same as saying that. The Maisa Hezek was done by the Bible, because Mamono did it, it's like Gufo doing it. I'm saying there are different formulations out there. A little bit sounds that way, like maybe a little in the Gemara Daf Yud, sounds a little bit like that, but, right, I don't think Rambam's going that far. Okay, so, I don't really know why it took so long, but, what about Isha? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Why not the Rambam and Aleph Tzedek? Spelling out what the onus is, and he doesn't say you're
hunting
the onus, but he tells
you
what the onus is that
you're hunting for. I mean, I guess does it sound like he thinks? I mean, and what if it's a situation where
it
you
sounded like it's a Rabbi.
What?
I said it sounded like it's a Rabbi.
I hear that. I mean, he doesn't say Ptur
onus. Right, but he's just telling you.
It sounds like he's saying whatever. There's no choser shmira because there's no possibility. It's a shir in the ability. You can't. Your shmira is not foolproof, and therefore there's no din shmira. So why can't there? In order to be potem shem onus, shouldn't you at least? I think that's what some of the achronim say. about Avda Vamaso generally too. Shouldn't you at least try? And let's say you did, or you didn't, and you could have, because you could overcome it. I don't think the Rambam cares. That's really what I'm trying to say. For the Rambam, it's a shiur in there's no tziruf. No bank account tziruf, no maisa tziruf, no mechayev of chosar shmira for sure. I just don't think that that's the main thing for the Rambam. Right? To qualify for onus, I think you really have to try, at least, and then fail. That's what I would think. Okay. We will find Petronus in the Rambam and Bor soon. It's a little bit... Okay. Now, of course, again, one of the things that I've been saying is, this is the Rambam on Shor. You know, Rashi, again, on Testament Beis, the two Rashis, do not distinguish between the Avos Nezikin, you know, regarding the perish of that Mishnah. Right. But what I'm suggesting is that maybe we should. Okay. That not, again, if some of the Avos Nezikin require Bailus and others don't, for example, let's say everything but Bor, everything but Eishin Bor, or some are more conducive, you know, for just like we're saying Shane might be different than Regel and Karen might be different than Regel, and, you know, in terms of Maisa Shor or Maisa Adam, you know, Ayyadei, neglect, and so on. I don't see why, if you don't hold a unified theme, why all these have to be, you know, Bechad Amachta. Again, it goes back to that other big question. Okay, so the Rambam does use the expression Anus and Bor, but it's a little bit strange there, too. We'll get to that in just a minute. What about Isha? Oh, so what about Isha? Aaron?
Rashi explains that by Eved Ve'ama, the Torah is coming from Pezayin and Aleph, when we say Eved Ve'isha,
Yasan Ra. Yeah. And Tosas takes him to task on that. Tosas says, this is not about Isha, this is about Eved and Am. Right. So the Gilyoni Ashas has a piece. Anybody get a chance to look at it? Well, he's quoting with firstly the Tashbetz, and then Tosas and Bab Metzia. Saad, are you?
I saw Tashbetz and Tosas and Bab Metzia.
You did or didn't? You did.
I saw those.
Good. Yeah, that's the main Tzitziv, because those are the real Makaros. He's quoting them.
Tashbetz.
What do they imply?
They both apply Svara of Shemayat Tanya to Isha.
Applies to Isha.
Not in the context of Zikin necessarily.
Correct.
Tosas applies it by Halbos.
Correct. Namely, if your wife borrows money, are you obligated to pay back her debt?
You obviously aren't, because Shemayat Tanya will fall out and she's going to go and borrow $1 million and mess up the wall.
Yeah.
And to be honest, the Tashbetz is a case I didn't really understand.
Okay, but he's talking about Mazik, actually. Okay, well, he's comparing it to the Mishnah, to the Shadayim, which he's applying, right, to Isha as well. He says, it's not going to work for the Almanos. You're right. I mean, you know, the Yisomim don't have to support, even the husband doesn't have to support the wife, you know, in this matters. Like, that's the Tashbit. So of course these applications, when you think about it, I mean, so what bothers him, you know, to, again, this is all goes back to Rashi basically, but you know, and some of the other applications too, is what is this? Right? Eved Biyama, you know, you own Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabo, he belongs to you in Dine Mamanis, but Ishto doesn't belong to him. Right? They have some shared bank account issues, but you know, he doesn't own his wife. Right? What? Okay. I mean, we won't get into that right now. Right, but typically that's not how we look at it. Okay, v'mishayish l'das ein adam v'lo abal chayam. It's strange. He says, Masha Kosav the Tam Ptura Baal, Beniska Ishto, Mishum Shema Yakni Tena, Nira de Kavanosa Kirashi, right, the Tevas Ama means also Isha, but Gufa Davar Tarachiyun, the Beisha, right, Leislon the Taima, the Shem Yakni Tena, Alamali the Tama de Shem Yakni Tena, Mechatesi the Iskai Baal, Beniska Ishto, Bishlama Ebed de Konilo Kishoro, Mashenki Isha Dena Mamana Baal, right? Oh, so then he has a possibility that Kivan, the Knuya Lebal, Lemaisi Yadeha, Lefizem, Mocha Shor, Leperos, Alokea Chai Ben Azaka, Ulai Tonle Beplutta, the Kinin Peros, Kinin Agufarna. Right, that's a fascinating suggestion. Right, anytime, if you hold Kinin Peros, Kinin Aguf, should that dictate regarding this question? That's whether you need the reasoning of Shema Yakni Tena. Right? So anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is, if we're talking about linked bank accounts or responsibility, financial responsibility, like an expansive view of financial responsibility, even then, you know, the case of Isha is problematic. However, certainly could be understood a little bit. Right? What? Halvos, yeah.
That's
nothing to do with the Zika. That can only have to do with, there's a separate din about, you know, shared financial, you know, accountability. Correct? In other words, if we're talking about connection to the Maisa Hezek, like, oh, the... Even Eved V'Ama is tough. But you can say, okay, Eved V'Ama, you know, if you ignore the fact that it's Mamoncha Hezek. No, Mali Mamoncha, Mali Gufcha. I told you, like a reverse Ramban. Until you say, in a Dome, there's a Bardas. Or Shemiyak Nitenu is a Shiur in being Atzmai and a Bardas. Okay? But I'm saying you can't even get off the ground with that when you're talking about Ishto or Bito, right? Even if there's Kinyan Lamaisiya dying. Maisei Dayim and Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Aguf, are purely financial arrangements. Right? There's no suggestion, right, that the Maisa is Mitzuraf to the person at all. So if you think that Bailus in Niske Mamon, you know, is the key, and it's Maisa Mamoncha, therefore it's a bank account issue, not Maisa Mamoncha plus Choser Shmira, you know, or one or the other or both, you know, is mitzuref enough for you, to you. But no, just purely, you own it, your bank account links to it. So then even things that you don't own, there are some cases where your bank accounts, you know, are expansively linked. Your daughter, your wife, kinyan peros, right? You could talk about it. But the second you think that it has to do with being mitzuref to the Maisa Hezek in any way, or choser shmira, there's no din of shmiras ishto or shmiras bito. There might be a din of shmiras am of the eved if you could pull it off, right? None of that applies at all. So in the end, I think that's kind of what he's trying to say, and what he's trying to say also is hinei lechora kavana megamara mishum tikkun olam. He doesn't quote the Rambam. And then he says, however, ulam ha-midaraisa patur. U-midaraisa docha kloma ke v'nira kavana the chiyuv adam on this case shoro hurak mishum the maisa mamono mityacheses lo bame u-keilu hizik biyado. He also quotes that Gemara in Yudah Amud Beis. That's just a very strong formulation. We're going to go and stop in a minute. I'm sorry we didn't get to bore, but at least we'll finish with this. That's a very strong formulation, you know, that Maisa Mamoncha is your Maisa. Okay, not just that, you know, your bank account covers, right? Or that, you know, your Choser Shmira is the Mazik, or that Choser Shmira is Mitzarif you to the Maisa of Mamoncha. Okay? So what he's saying is, B'me'u ke'ilu hizik biyado. Whoa. Then he goes on, he has two formulae. Here's where I think that he works way too hard. But once you say that, you say, but if you're a bardas, that's not going to work. Why he doesn't then just say what we were saying, which is that Shema Yaknitenu is a shiur in breaking that whole tziruf on a maisa level or on a mumbo level, frankly. I don't know. But he has very more creative, I guess, but I think also more dachuk ways of explaining why that should be. Okay? So we'll leave it at that, and we'll stop here. What I want to do next time is talk about, I still have a little more to do on Karen again when I have a few minutes, but let's talk Thursday, let's talk about Bohr. Okay?